We got it after the fact, so it was like catching us off guard. It's like, hey, you didn't even let us know that. We knew it was going to come out, but I can explain as we go the timeline of how everything happened. We haven't spoke earlier because of those alleged allegations that they fabricated against us, and we wanted to make sure that we were fine and nothing's come out of it. So now we want to speak out so the people understand that we were here to help the people, and we were retaliated against, and in a horrible way.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm definitely willing to hear you out. I am gonna have to.
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna be able to publish, but I'm definitely willing to hear you out and talk about what we'll be able to put out there. We're basically updating the story as we go. So as people react to the report, we want to put their reactions out there.
Yes. But we want you to understand, and it'll fit in place, because everything we did, myself and Mr. Barrera, we documented it on the board meetings. We knew what was happening to us, and we just stayed, because we're ex-law enforcement. We understand what's right and wrong, and we wanted to make sure we documented everything. Now, when I go down this line, you need to understand that and not say, well, does it sound better if I twist it this way and get more readers. The truth is out there, and that's what we want to get to. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're not trying to twist anything. I mean, we basically just went off of what was on the report itself.
Mm-hmm.
We think that that's definitely a matter of public interest, what's on the report. Where do you want to go ahead and start? I read our past coverage on the situation, but I wasn't actually present in El Paso when all that was going on.
Let me tell you about the TEA investigation initially before I start. TEA just wanted us to have everything sort of resolved. No final report and not mention the other investigations that were pending. And they would give us a conservator. We said, no, we need to hold people accountable. And we pushed TEA to actually investigate everything. But they said, no, they will only give you a final report on the first part. And that's what, and the conservator, that's what they gave us. We wanted everything investigated because the public deserves to know everything. Even those allegations they say that I did wrong, investigate them, because I know, because we did nothing wrong. It was just them trying to silence us. And that's what we wanted. We wanted the full investigation, but they wouldn't give it to us. So, the three main parts that you see in the investigation, the graduates, that was before us. So we weren't involved in that. The second one with the stipends, I initiated that investigation, and I'll explain that as we go. And the third one against Guetta, Mr. Barrera was the one that initiated that investigation. So we were trying to be transparent from the very beginning. Okay. Now, we go back to July 2021. I just got on the board. I was on the board for a few months. And I knew there was problems in the district. And I had requested that an RFQ be passed for an external audit. This is in July of 2021. And it's in the board meeting, the regular board meeting for July. We got it passed, but they buried it. They buried it for 18 months before we actually got the internal investigation going, the external audit going. So following that, in September of 2021, we in the regular board meeting, stipends were presented at the HR committee meeting. I questioned them in the board meeting. When you look into, when we had the consent agenda, I questioned why weren't the stipends brought forward before the board. And Michael Nahida stood up and was telling me that you can't question them because they're in regulation. And there's, the policy. If you look at policy, legal, local, and regulation. We don't vote on regulation. And I'm like, well, you can't have a $13,000 scholarship, or I mean a scholarship, a stipend, presented, and the taxpayers don't know about it. And it wasn't until the following month in October that they brought it back in the regular board meeting, October 2021. It was the attorney, Blanco, and the interim home HR director, Redlinger, Thomas Redlinger. They were on the stand, and I was questioning them about it. And they said, yeah, it's a new stipend. We get to vote for it. And I told them, well, how about the other stipends? I go, in September, you presented 16 brand new stipends, or 16 either adjustments or new stipends that you didn't present to the public or the board to approve for the compensation plan. And then the cell phone stipend thing, it had four categories and it jumped to like 32. And I go, where did this come from? That never was brought before the board. You know, and then you watch it and everybody like is denying that it happened, or it's the attorney said, well, it's not legal, but it's not illegal. All this stuff was going on. And I'm like, well, how do we address the issue with the stipends? We have to bring it before the board for approval. Martha Carmona, the interim superintendent, even was like, oh, can I speak? And then she goes, well, you know, we have the Aztec architect stipend. And that's when I said, yeah, and that's another one. Like, you're overlooking. That's a $10,000 stipend. So whether it's Carmona, Redley, or Blanco, they all were aware of it at the time. And this is October of 2021, and nobody took any action to say, hey, you know what? We're doing this wrong all this time. You had Michael Najera, Cynthia Najera, and Paul Guetta. These were the ones that had been on the board the longest. And then the other two, Eddie Mena and David Morales. Nobody said, hey, you know, Castellano is right. And that's where it really all started with us, with Carmona coming after us. And after that, it was all, you know, it was hard to talk to anybody in the district because we were isolated. We were pushed aside. We were like outcast. We just stopped going to the football games because they were harassing us. And there's even a picture of the security guard flipping us off. It got to that point. And we have the picture. We have the documents. We have everything I'm telling you. We have documentation on. At the same time, you know, my wife was making a whistleblower complaint on her about her campus misusing Title I funding. And she'll speak to that in a little bit. So we were saying, hey, this is wrong with the district. Let's fix it. And so we wound up in October of that year. I spoke to a friend of mine who retired from the FBI, and I was explaining to him what was going on. And he's the one that said, you know what, you need to document it with the federal agencies. And that's what I did. I went to the federal agency. I was in contact with Rebecca Cleveland from the TEA, explaining everything that we were observing. And I told her, we can't fix the district without your help. And I have all the emails. It's all documented. Everything I'm saying to you, it's documented. So, you know, we were serious from the beginning.
They have a copy of their request.
Yeah, and I believe if you request the documents, that it should all be in there. You know, my wife making her complaints on the Title I funding. So this was back in October of 2021. December 13th of 2021, TEA expanded their investigation because of stuff that we were bringing forward. And then by January of 2022, the following month, my wife started getting targeted. They were releasing her medical information. And then February, we started bringing in the contractor to pick a new superintendent. And that's when things started getting a little weird there. And they started like isolating me even more. And of course, they were setting it up for the Texas Rangers to come in and go after my wife. So the retaliation was already in place. Let me see, where am I? That day of the Rangers, I even approached the agent, or the his name was Torres. And I think he's a sergeant Torres with the Rangers. And I told him, I go, helping TEA and we're speaking to the FBI reference this stuff. And I go, you didn't do your homework to see that there's an investigation already going on. And he didn't care, you know. And we recorded our meeting with them, but they had a body camera and they recorded the incident, whatever happened on that campus. We've requested it several times and they haven't released it, but I believe the statutes of limitation are up and we're going to request again and get that body camera footage. So when Carmen came in, there was I brought up the stipend issue with him. He came in March. I told him, we have these stipends that are being approved without board approval, that are being paid out without board approval. And I told him, if you're paying out illegal stipends, you're paying them over by electronic transfer. I go, that's wire fraud. You can't be doing that. I go, we need to fix the problem. They blew me off. I got an email from the HR director when she came in, Gonzalez. She said, oh, there's nothing wrong with the stipends. I'm like, no, we have to acknowledge where we went wrong, make the adjustments. Either we let them keep the money or we... But the board has to take some kind of action on the money. And that's what Rebecca Cleveland told me. You just can't let them keep the money. And I explained that to Carmen. So it wasn't until June of 2022 that they finally took action to approve the stipends. And we finally did it right then. But we never had a chance to go back and identify all these stipends that were created by cabinet. When these stipends came up in October, November of 2021, you can look at the board book and, excuse me, and Martha Carmona wrote in the board book in a little sections in the back where it covers the item. This is the way cabinet had always done it. She would even put it in the Friday packet when I would bring it up. This is the way cabinet has always done it. Yeah, you've always done it, but it's illegal. We need to fix the problem. She acknowledged it. Let's see, where am I? Oh, then also with Carmen, some contract extensions popped up. This is the problem where the contract started coming up. And Carmen put himself in charge of the committee that oversees who gets the contract. He identified 40 stipend or $40 million in stipend contract extensions, that were approved without board approval. And I asked him, well, then how far back does this go? Because all contract extensions over $100,000 have to go before the board. So I asked for a record, go back 5 years and let me know. And that turned out to be $136 million worth of contracts approved without the board approval. Well, contract extensions over $100,000. And I told, you need to take some action. I go, they had no authority to sign those. I go, these guys are outside. There was 28 employees in those 5 years that signed those contract extensions. And that's where he turned on me. I'm like, hey, well, take some action. You identified the initial $40 million, but how about the other $90 million? And that went bad after that. And then a few months after that, they started bringing them before the board. Cynthia Nahede would argue, oh, but they're automatic. And they're like, no, they're not automatic. They required board approval. And... Well, we finally fixed that problem. Okay. There was other issues. There was a recent case that the city, Socorro Independent School District settled. And when we reviewed it, some criminal allegations came up against a former trustee. And I presented it before the board members and said, hey, you know what? This is a violation of the law, what this trustee did. Well, he's not there anymore, as well as members of your district. They abused the authority of their office to target a certain person. And I go, but you don't take any action. I go, you come after myself or you come after Barrera, but when it comes down, when action is really needed to take, and we have the evidence that's there, you took no action. You're focused only on two trustees because we're speaking out against what's really going on in the district. No action was taken on that. I still have that. So When the external audit was completed, the first part of December 13th of 2023, in that audit, I don't know if you've read it, the external audit.
No, I haven't gotten a chance to look over the whole thing.
The external audit, not the TEA investigation.
Right. Yeah. No, I know what you're
saying. Okay, and it's emphasized in there when you look at Iyington's participation in these contract negotiations and when he did it and how he did it. I mean, there is questionable activity on him that required illegal, that required law enforcement involvement in those investigations. And see, nobody picked it up. And it's buried on the website. If you go look to our website, you have to look through, you have to go through about and then transparency and then look for the bond report. And it's buried in there, but it's information that was brought forth from the external audit. Two more audits are supposed to be released on Monday, and one of them is will bring question activities by Dr. Carmen, and whatever he brings out now is like a preemptive strike to like push the blame somewhere else. Look over there, but this is still coming out, and that will be made public on Monday, and it also questions two other former trustees and some campaign contributions, and they're in the, it's in the report, it's all documented in there. That's coming out. And then there's another part, there's like two parts. The other one discuss the rest of like the budgetary items and that travel expenses, stipends, a lot of other issues that will require further investigation by an outside source. Let's see, where is I? Like I said, TEA just wanted to resolve the issues. I said no. I go, no, we were out there putting ourselves out there to do the right thing. We took the hits, you know, even your organization, you know, and I told Molly, I go, you need to wait and listen to the whole story before you put anything out, because it's not what it seems, you know. There's a lot out there. And that's why we want to speak now, because it's like, enough's enough. You know, I saw your article and the Castellanos did that with the recordings. Continue listening to the recording and you'll hear allegations in there, criminal allegations that I was speaking to with my wife that we identified. And nobody said anything about that. See, and it's focused for the sensationalism, but it shouldn't be. Because we're trying to get to the truth.
And they're hurting us.
And it hurt our family, you know. If that's what you want to hear, it hurt us. Mm-hmm. But it's like we felt we had to do the right things. Our children got behind us and said, you know what, Mom, Dad, you did the right thing. You know, we just wanted to be fair. And whatever motive, you know, Carmen and Carmona and the former police chief, Castorena, and the former HR, Campoya, and Redlinger, whatever their motive is, we want it to come out. We want the truth to come out. And it will play out. But everything I'm telling you, it's documented in an email. It's documented, you know, with TEA. It's documented with the FBI. It's documented with on the board meetings. And I explained that to Molly. Look at the board meetings. That tells you everything. And as law enforcement, we know. And one day when they come and look at everything, those board meetings will be used. Because we documented, they make their statements. They're locked into it. I don't. Oh, the question you should be asking, TEA, is, did they pursue any criminal charges against any of the allegations they identified? You know, that's the question that should be asked, because when you have this. Like the graduates, all those documents have to be submitted through the PIM system. And if they're fraudulent, each charge is tampering with a government record. That's a felony. Now, if you had, what is it they said, 277? That's a minimum of 277 documents that were fraudulent. Did they initiate any, did they refer this to any outside law enforcement agency? Because they're regulatory. Did they do that? Stipends, they even said, these were created in violation of Texas law.
Texas criminal law. They violated that. Well, they paid them out, electronic transfers. Did they send that information out anywhere? And then, you know, Mr. Guerra, well, that speaks for itself. I'm not going to talk on that one. He, that's his situation. And you have the information. That's all you need. That was initiated by Mr. Barrera. But those are the questions that need to ask. And I want to ask TEA, what did they do when they became aware of the criminal activity? And to say nothing, that's wrong. And the focus should be there.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I think I definitely understand where you're coming from, and, you know, in that situation. I mean, as far as some of the coverage in the past, I mean, I obviously wasn't there, you know, and I really don't know what, you know, what the situation was with Molly. From my understanding, or at least from the reporting, is that, you know, there was an opportunity given for an interview, and I guess that didn't work out, so I don't really know exactly what happened there.
The attorney said no.
Yeah, we couldn't because of the attorney. Our attorney said not to at the time. And we told her, you know what, this is what's going on, and we knew there are there's another trustee that's just got elected, and she mentioned that yes, this was a directive from higher up to for Elliot and for somebody else to target us, start targeting the Castellanos, and Mr. Barrera, you know, when he was speaking to Mr. Carmen, he said that Carmen told him that yeah, we can't use 12 of those statements that they took against the Castellanos because they're just cut and paste. We know that they're no good. See, and this stuff hasn't come out, and we never spoke about it before because we still had under the statutes there waiting. But this is stuff that the Texas Rangers know, and Carmen knew. But you know, he's still saying Castellano did this, Castellano did this. And I told him one time in a meeting, I just said, you know what, I'm just waiting for discovery. Yeah. Do what you got to do. I'm just waiting for it because I know what's out there. We did nothing wrong. And push comes to shove, you know, we're ready. We're tired of it. We're just tired. We're trying to help the kids. What they're doing with the money and the $33 million shortfall, you know, they wanted to pass some tax increase to cover it. No, we have to fix the problem ourselves. We just can't pass it off. You know, and Michael Nahida wants to give the press release that, oh, everything's fine and dandy and the superintendent's leadership was great. You know, that's wrong. There's a problem with the district. You can see it. Now you see, I was waiting for that TEA investigation to come out. So people can see what's actually going on and our participation in trying to bring out what's going on and why they came after really the two law enforcement officers that said, this is the right thing to do. And they just crapped all over us, and that's probably the best way to say it. But we stood our ground because we know what's right. And in the end, those children deserve every single dollar, tax dollar that we can give them for their education. This is what's wrong with the system. And people just, you know, it's the adults that are bad and that messed up, not the kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's now the responsibility's on your plate now. How do we help the kids now? Or do we say, oh, it's better to sensationalize and slam us? You know, you can continue, but in the end, we did nothing wrong. You continue it, but we did nothing wrong. And the kids still don't get any relief.
Yeah.
You know, my wife wants to tell you something, too, because when what they did to her was wrong, and it needs to be addressed, too. And sure. Here she is. Ms. Silva.
Hi, Ms. Silva.
Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, good. My name is Gabriela Castellano. You already know that. I've been, for the last 2 years, wanting to tell my side of the story. Molly Smith did a terrible job. She made us look like we were crooks. We were criminals. We had done something wrong. Like my husband said, there's no evidence. There was never anything wrong. I know that Rangers looked at video cameras in the campus. They spent 2 days at Bill Seibert collecting evidence against us. I know Miss Gabriela Elliott. She's a principal from Bill Seibert. She actually made up a story that my husband was coming to get her, that my husband was in my classroom all day long, days on end, and wouldn't let me do my job. She said the whole year of 21 and 22 that my husband had been in my classroom all day long, but the Rangers didn't find any evidence of that because it wasn't true. My husband would take me coffee, leave it in the front desk, and he would leave. That's it. And I got written up a lot that year on 2021-22. Right after my husband got elected, he started asking for those stipends. You know, he's a cop, so he can't help but ask for what is right. He didn't have a choice. He didn't have an option to say, yes, I will question it. Yes, I will report it. So I became the target. I became the attention. And I became the criminal. I did nothing. I stayed in my classroom. I didn't talk to anybody. My understanding, and there's got to be cameras still, Miss Elliott, that day when the Texas Rangers assaulted me, immediately after, they lined people up. They were Miss Elliott's friends. They wrote bogus and false statements against me. And Dr. Carmen did tell Pablo Barrera, the trustee, that they couldn't use those statements because they were copy-pasted by Miss Elliott. And then I have a friend that said that Miss Elliott called the meeting and threatened her staff and said, you will read these statements to the Texas Rangers. You will give them this written statement, because if you don't, I will come and I will finish you up. And if you tell me and I get fired, I will come after you. And she had the backing of the superintendent, so she could do that. But then there were five employees at Bill Seibert who they took back their statements because Miss Elliott made him do that. Miss Elliott got rewarded with a brand new campus at Eastlake Middle. Well, let me tell you, this is what happened. I don't know if you can request now that the statute of limitations is over. The Texas Rangers I was tutoring in the morning at school. The kids were there. My assistant principal, Ms. Gonzalez, pulled me out of my classroom and said she needed to speak to me. So I told her, let me go get my cell phone. She goes, you don't need it. I said, well, let me get it anyway to record the conversation, because they had been targeting me so much. I got written up a lot. I got written up for being 2 minutes late from lunch. That's how bad it was. So she tells me to follow her, and I go and get my phone. All of a sudden, there's a Texas Ranger standing there, two Texas Rangers, and four SISD police officers were there. And I asked what happened. They said that I was harassing my principal. I said, when did I do that? And they said, you need to come with us. I said, well, then I need an attorney. And the Ranger said, no, you're not getting one. And I said, then I'm not talking to you. And they all surrounded me against the wall. And I said, may I leave or am I under arrest? They said, the Ranger Torres said, you are under arrest if you don't give us your cell phone. And I said, do you have a search warrant? And he said, I don't need one. I don't have to give you one. And then I told him, then I can't give you my cell phone. So I put my cell phone behind my back, and they pushed me against the wall. And the SISD police, I had my hands behind my back. The SISD police grabbed me and assaulted me with a lot of force and pulled my arm forward. The other Texas Ranger pulled my other arm forward. And then Texas Ranger Torres pulled every finger off my phone and took my phone. He put it in his back pocket. I have pictures. I have video of that. They had a body camera as well, but they don't want to give it to me because that's evidence on how they violated my civil rights. They deny me attorney. They deny me a fair opportunity to get a search warrant and to get an attorney to represent me. So then they threw me out of the campus. They put me on administrative leave for 2 months, and then they moved me to another campus, and they tore my left shoulder rotator cuff. They tore it. I just had surgery in December because I didn't have health care. I was fired. I didn't have money. I didn't have health care. I didn't have anything. So now I fixed my shoulder, and it had 95% damage. That's what they did to me. And when the Rangers left and they threw me off the campus, Miss Elliott, Gabriela Elliott, the principal at Bill Seibert, was laughing. She was laughing and telling her friends that She was so happy and that please pray for her, for God to take care of her. And she had her friends write false statements. She was threatening them. She was in the interview room. She was doing all the talking. There was a teacher who was in my grade level, and she told her, Miss Castellanos never done anything. And Miss Elliott told her, yes, remember, she did something to you. And she goes, no, I never talked to them. I never emailed them. I never texted my colleagues because I was still new to the campus. I didn't know anybody. But so then they changed the story that I was stalking somebody, but they can't find records or evidence that I did something wrong. So anyway, I just want to say that, you know, Gabriela Elliott lied. And actually, I reported her because she had all the special ed aides. And I have documentation, and I submitted it, where aides were subbing. They were not serving the kids. My aide was subbing. My aide complained to Miss Elliott that he wasn't serving my kids, and he was subbing. Miss Elliott threatened him, and I have the documentation. She threatened my aide. He was a 19-year-old kid, and said, either you leave or we're going to make your life impossible. That's who Miss Elliott really is. She is a monster. But anyway, this funding that, you know, they provide those services, they're Title I federal funding. And all these aides were not serving the kids. And I filed a whistleblower complaint, two formal whistleblower complaints to Human Resources. And their response was to call the Texas Rangers on me for harassment. You guys, Molly Smith requested every single document I submitted to Rettlinger. Every single document, every single email to and from Marta Carmona, who was the assistant superintendent, she requested any and all emails and conversations between me and Miss Elliott, and any and all emails from my husband to all those individuals. You guys have all the documentation. Molly Smith did nothing with it. She's in those documents, it shows I'm a whistleblower. In those documents, I'm asking Human Resources to tell Miss Elliott to cease and desist and stop harassing me. She kept writing me up. She kept targeting me. I kept asking for help. Nobody responded. And the next thing I know, the Texas Rangers are here to solve an administrative concern. And then Rettlinger, I sent him my recording. The recording was supposed to have been my evidence how I got written up. I accidentally left it running. And yes, my husband and I, we're talking, and he recorded that, but that's our free speech, and that was our bedroom talk. How humiliating do you think that was for us, for people to hear us snoring at night, taking a shower, and even my husband's calling me sexy baby, take your clothes off. All of that was published. And then there was no dignity in what they did to us. My children were listening to these recordings. My friends were listening to these recordings. And I'm not ashamed of what was said because it's my free speech. What was the violation? It was a rape. It was an undressing of my personal life. My employer undressed me before the world and made me, turned me into a criminal. Molly Smith called me. She said that I was cackling in the recording, called me a witch. She said I was disgruntled, but yet she had all the documentation to show what Miss Elliott had been doing illegally. And you guys told the story lopsided. And nothing fair in this. And then this report that you just recently released, you only mentioned me, my husband, but in the Barreras. You're not mentioning Elliott, Gabriela Elliott, principal of Bill Steibert. She approved UIL stipends that were being double dipped. This is how it works. Her friends, the WIN teachers, We were WIN teachers, and we worked till 4:45, okay? And those teachers stated that they worked UIL events after 5 o'clock. That's impossible. The kids are gone home. TEA, you saw the TEA report. It was Gabriela Elliott and many of her friends that double dipped. Where is that? Where are their names in your reporting? Why just us? Mm-hmm. You continue, guys. I just see you guys reporting against us, and I think that's false. That's bad reporting. My story will be told, and I'm not going to stop and just tell the story. If I have to write a book, if whatever I need to do, I will tell my story. I will free myself from all the condemnation from everybody around us. I feel El Paso Matters was part of that mafia that came after us. Once an entity like that comes after you, nobody stops. I lost everything. Miss Elliott got a brand new campus. It was a reward for her. Even though she falsified documents, even though she wasn't serving the special ed students, even though she was allowing her teachers to double dip. I have evidence of everything I'm telling you. You have the evidence of it, everything I'm telling you. So if you really want to do, you know, true reporting, look at those documents as well. Look at the external audit that came out December 13. Look at what's going to come out on Monday. Look at all that evidence. And then you'll see there is not a hair of us doing something wrong. It was just came after us. This huge monster came after us and violated everything that we are. In everything that we believe in.
When it comes to the names, you know, print the names of the principals that participated in this cover-up of the secretaries, of the assistant principals, of the deputy superintendents that signed off on all these students to graduate. You know, put their names. The stipends, cabinet approved those. Put those names. Look at those board meetings that I told you, and they're on YouTube. And look how we were fighting to bring those to light, and nobody listened to us, you know. And that's what we were up against. The day of the incident at Bill Seibert, we went to the El Paso Police Department and documented on a report. I have the case number here for you. It's 22-068-061. We went to them, and they just listed it as an information report. They didn't follow up, you know, and.
Can she request a recording from the Texas Rangers?
Yeah, request the information. It's all out there.
And then one thing, the Texas Rangers in your article said that the district attorney's office sent them. The DA responded with, "We never sent you." So they also lied when I filed a workers' compensation claim.
That's right.
The Texas Rangers were interviewed as witnesses, and they said they never touched me. But if we get that open records request on that camera on March 9th around 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock, you will see what they did to me.
Okay. Well, there's definitely a lot of information that was just, you know, presented to me right there all at once.
But that's our story. That is what needs to be published, our side of the story. We're not criminals. There is not a hair of evidence that we did anything wrong. It's time for people to know the truth, that, you know, that we get back our dignity. And you're the person that can do that for us.
We did our due diligence to do the right thing. And we're just asking you. You have the information. We have the documentation.
She has it, too.
And you have it.
I want to clarify a few things. I don't have whatever documentation you're referring to. Perhaps Bob Moore has it. Perhaps Molly has it.
Yes.
I've not given any of his documentation. I only came on to El Paso Matters a year ago.
Well, if you're going to report on us, do your homework.
Yes.
Don't slander us.
I basically was a stenographer for the TEA. Everything that I reported was basically what was reported in that investigation. So I did, the only thing that was out of that investigation was any previous coverage. And a lot of that was also, you know, things that we had previously published and was previously public knowledge. When you're referring to Elliot, some of the principals, they were not mentioned in the report. And I understand I do empathize with you guys. I understand where you're coming from, because it is out of nowhere, and it does, I can understand where you feel like this is dragging some things back up. But this is what was in the report. This is what the TA put out there.
Mm-hmm. So it was TA who mentioned us by name, but nobody else was mentioned.
I can't answer that. I don't know why no one else was mentioned.
But
by name.
But you wrote it in your report.
You said we were the only ones mentioned in it, right? And Mr. Barrera?
You said that Gabriella Elliott. And I'm saying that Gabriella Elliott was not mentioned.
Right.
Yeah, but
so you're saying that TEA mentioned our names only then? When you were taking notes, you were being the stenographer. They told you Gabriella Castellano and Richard Castellano. They didn't mention anybody else but our names. So is TEA targeting us still? because they only mention our name. Yeah. Everybody's calling us, asking us what's happening.
Do you think that they're targeting you?
Yes.
Well, yes,
because I do feel TEA has targeted us because they don't want to finish the story. They don't want to finish the investigation.
Ask them if they initiate any criminal charges. If they went to any state agency, law enforcement agency, anybody to initiate criminal charges on what they identified. Just ask them that. If the answer is no, then they're part of the problem. See,
and if they only mention our names, yeah, they're targeting us. Yeah, yeah. They are. You Something know, is wrong with that.
This whole thing, yes, the taxpayer should be furious. They should just, you know, really just whatever they need to do is hold us accountable. Yes. I've been saying that from the very beginning. I'm not trying to hide anything. We told TEA to finish their investigation. We told them to. They didn't want to.
And what you said, that TEA said that they settle our cases or whatever, there was no such conversation.
Yeah, we didn't There's want no it. They, that's that. All they said they don't have the manpower to finish it. And then, so what's the point?
So they're saying we don't have enough police officers. We're not going to charge the murders with murder. Really, that's what they're saying.
Yeah, that's where... finish your job. You know, do what you have to do.
But Molly Smith took all my documents, everything that I am, and she should have taken also my evaluations. I have excellent evaluations, even by Miss Elliott. So how did it turn into you're 2 minutes late? We're going to write you up. We're going to call the Texas Rangers of you. HR never called me to say I was doing something wrong or illegal. Never.
You have the information, you have more information, and we're pointing you in a direction that really nobody else has, and you can understand everything. Mr. Barrera wants to speak to you.
This story is not new to you. You wrote it on the article. You guys have it on your articles. Mm-hmm. It's not new. Just you're hearing our side for a change.
Yeah, well, because, you know, in hearing your side, I am curious about one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So... from what the report stated is, and from my understanding, is initially the TEA didn't really have many intentions of putting this out there, particularly the appendix, which is where you guys are mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And from my understanding, the district pushed to have that part released.
No, actually, the board.
The board. Sorry, my mistake. So were you included in that? Were you trying to push to have everything released?
Yes. Yes, okay. Everybody needs but to be held accountable.
But where is Gabriela Elliott's name? Yes. Where are the campuses that double dipped?
Yeah.
Those teachers double dipped. They got 7 stipends, each one almost $400 each. They had the WIN program. The WIN program pays you $10,000 for that extra hour after school. And they claimed they had 7 UIL stipends, and they took the money. And it's in the TEA report. But those are the people who did that.
Yeah.
Those are criminal. Those are criminals.
Yeah.
And criminals lying and lying and lying.
Yeah, and we wanted the truth to come out. And that's why the board voted. It was unanimous. The board wanted the information out to the public. It took TEA a year. The initial investigation was released February 28th last year. And it took them a year to get to this point. And nothing changed on the... I looked at the document, nothing changed.
But they don't want to finish the investigation.
Yeah. And did Carmen speak to Morath to slow it down, speed it up? We know they're friends, but there's a lot of questions that need to be answered, and that's where we're at.
The story hasn't been told yet. The story has not been told yet.
There's still a lot of information out there that we still need to get, and we're still looking into, because it's not over, you know.
Yeah. And you know what? I saw in one of your articles that you mentioned me. It was like random. You're talking about teachers leaving the district. I didn't leave the district because of races or problems. They fired me.
No.
Huh?
They didn't renew your contract.
They didn't renew my contract, but it was because of my injury. But my doctor sent me back to work, and they did not renew my contract. And you kind of said that I'm working at another... local district. I don't want people to know what I'm doing. I'm done. You all need to let me move on. I paid the price with my family. You need to
be fair, ma'am. You are the wife of a public official.
So I am, but you you lied in your statements, in your articles. If you told the truth, okay, yes, tell it. Yeah. But you're lying.
Finish telling the
you're
whole story.
Us.
Finish telling.
I, even if I work at another district, are you going to go after me now at another district? Why do you make me a target? I just want to be left alone. You know, I want to move on.
No one is trying to target you.
It sounded like it. I mean, why would I get so many calls like, Gabby, you're on the news again? That's how they tell me. You're on the news again. My children see that. It's not even true what they said about me. But I continue to be mentioned. And I just want to move on. Tell the truth. And then say that I work at another district. Tell the truth. Tell what I just told you.
I'm just going to sit by and I'm going to go ahead and just say a couple of things. For one, my boss, Bob, he did say that we don't really want to go about relitigating some of the things that happened back with Molly's reporting. The other thing is...
But you attached a copy of the recording.
Yeah, you did.
That was in the initial reporting. We're not here to relitigate this. That happened.
But you did. No.
There's a link in this report.
In this report, there's the link to the recording.
Yeah, so people know that we reported about this because we want to be transparent with everyone that we have previously.
But you're rehatching something that is so dear and personal to us.
We've given you information.
Yes.
Be transparent.
Yes.
Yes. We want this to come forward. We want everything to be investigated. You know, I don't mind sitting in a courtroom and explaining everything that happened so people can be held accountable. That's where I'm waiting for it. You know, let's do that. Let's do that. You know, but...
If you see any documentation that you want me to look at, I'm definitely open to looking at. I'm just going to say the only information that we put out there is information that has either been given to us by either a government agency like the TEA or that we've gotten some sort of proof through email. So I understand... where your situation is, but I'm just not going to allow you to say that we lied. All the information that we got, all of that is documented evidence. Maybe we didn't put everything out there. I can't say that. I can't speak to that because I wasn't there and I wasn't the reporter at the time. I'm going to have a conversation with Bob about what we can actually put out there.
You have documented evidence. More's coming Monday. And... Mm-hmm.
It's very serious. Yeah,
and you'll see the story play out. Mm-hmm. Look at it that. And we've given you our story and go and do your due diligence. Just do your due diligence and get to the truth.
See, if Bob Moore has my records that Molly Smith requested. She has them. She couldn't have taken them with her. It's not her property. And it was they requested it under El Paso Matters. So that belongs to you guys. And you'll see all my conversations to Human Resources. You want to publish the truth? Go through those documents. Publish anything that is on those documents. And you will see how I was being retaliated and how I was making a lot of outcries to Human Resources to leave me alone, to cease and desist. And look what they did. They called the Rangers instead. You need to look at that.
But just to correct you there, she may have had the documents, but they don't belong to us. Those are public documents. They belong to the public.
Okay, then publish them. Yeah. Publish what I'm telling you. Whatever Bob Moore and his friend Molly.
And everything we discussed, it belongs in the public. Everything we've told you is public information. I tried last year to get the initial report put out on a vote, and they voted down. April of 2023, before the elections, I made a motion to have that put out there, all that initial report from TEA, and they voted it down. Just me and Pablo voted for it to be released. You know, we're trying to be transparent. We want you to be transparent too.
We're going to tell our story as many times as we have to.
Yeah.
Sure. And I will do my best to see what I can do. I definitely need to talk to Bob because obviously in the end, it's not really my decision what gets published. It's ultimately the editor's decision. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to talk to him, explain to him everything you guys told me. I took a lot of notes, and I will, I guess, see from there what we'd be able to put out. I mean, specifically, in this situation, we want to address the things that were brought up in the investigation. But if there is more things that need to be looked at,
there is.
It may be worth a follow-up at that point, and we may need to do something deeper.
Well, we're willing to open up. You know, we have nothing to hide. We're not embarrassed. We're not embarrassed of everything my husband has been doing. He's a police officer. He had no choice.
We documented everything, just like in law enforcement. We documented everything. My wife documented everything, knowing that one day we were going to get to this point. Mm-hmm. So we have it.
My intent for every email I wrote is somebody else will read this email.
Yes. See, that's where we're at. We know that. Every board meeting we attended, that we knew, oh, this one day may be used in a grand jury. We knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we approached it. We understood. We understood the magnitude of what was going on.
And that's the reason why TEA is involved and this came out. You know, not because the board trustees volunteered it. It's because my husband and Mr. Barrera reported everything. They did not have a choice.
Two families try to stand up to a government entity. That's what we're doing. You know, and you can, you know, you guys can continue trying to knock us down and the Rangers can whatever do what they want, but we're still going to stand our ground. I would still stay on this side of the fence because we did what was right. We didn't do anything wrong. And we'll, if we have to stand alone, we'll stand alone because we know what we did was right. Whatever allegations they brought forward or they want to complain, the burden's on them to prove it. We never did anything wrong. And that's where we're at. That's what we want you now to see. There's another side of the coin. And it doesn't look like what you've been talked to by Carmen and whoever else in the district. It's a whole different side of the coin now. Now you decide the truth. You look at it and you see what's right and what's wrong. What happened, what didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You have everything.
You have my grievance for a whistleblower, two of them.
Yeah.
And then they conducted an investigation and San Miguel, the internal auditor, all he wrote was that he showed those people my statements and he had them rebuttal me and accused me of harassment. But they took no action. They did not investigate if my story, my complaint was true. They didn't ask the teachers. They didn't ask the students. They didn't ask the aides. They didn't ask anybody any questions. They just rebuttaled me with insults.
Remember that you have the information that what happened in external audit one, what's going to happen in the other two external audits, what happened in the TA investigations. And those people were district employees, not us. Those were district employees. Everybody needs to be held accountable. They want to call us out and say, oh, there's a recording. Fine. Hold everybody accountable because what they did was far worse. That what they did to the students and the graduates, that's unbelievable. Those are felony charges, just submitting documents. I just can't believe it. And they better have taken action, you know, but you have everything.
Okay. Well, I'll definitely ask Bob for some of those records. But let me just back up and ask a couple questions really quickly. So you mentioned that you believe that the TEA is targeting you. And I have to ask this question. Do you have any, I guess, evidence that you're being targeted besides just the fact that you were, you know, named in the report?
Well, we participated in assisting them from the very beginning. You know, like I said, we spoke to Rebecca Cleveland, and she was one of the investigators from the very beginning. And then all of us, after about a year, I mean, we spoke regularly about all the stuff. And then all of a sudden, it just, like, you know, we were cut loose. It's like, well, no, wait a minute.
It's just because of the fact that they mentioned only us by name. Yes, I do feel targeted.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that TA does not want to complete their report because supposedly they're short staffed is wrong. And it's immoral because the law is the law and they violated the law and they're going to be allowed to violate the law. You cannot say, I'm a policeman, I'm busy, I'm not going to go after that murder. You don't leave your investigations incomplete. There, in those investigations, I made complaints, my husband made complaints, and they do not want to look into that. There's a reason for that, because somebody is being protected. They're not going to hold those people accountable, but look what they did to us. They lied about us, and the Texas Rangers harmed me. They assaulted me, and nothing was brought up as evidence against me.
Yes.
The statute of limitations is over. There's nothing.
Okay. Well, we have to go.
Okay, let me just ask really quickly, because I know this was a long conversation. So if you, just to kind of maybe summarize, is there... If you could, you know, put it in maybe like one or two sentences, what do you want the public to know about this investigation and what should happen going forward?
For me, they should, the TEA, I want TEA to finish all these investigations and allow the public to know the truth, because we were put in front of the public. We were sacrificed. We were crucified. Then the other side of what really happened needs to be out there. DEA needs to hold these people accountable and finish their investigation, especially if there's criminal, what do you call it?
Allegations
against certain people. So I think in all fairness, people deserve to know the truth. There were stories told out there that are not true. They deserve to know the other side. And especially if there's criminal activity in the district, they're taxpayers. I'm a taxpayer. I pay a lot of money. When I don't work, I still pay those taxes. And for somebody to go and do whatever they want with that money, abuse it, use it and abuse it, like if that was your pocket, that is criminal. And that is not fair to all the taxpayers that go to work every single day and pay their taxes for these people to live up a nice little life. It's not fair. And the kids are forgotten.
And they need to understand that, you know, Mr. Barrera and myself, we went in there to protect the kids. Mr. Barrera is a strong advocate for the special ed students. And we have an RFQ out there pending for a special ed external audit, but they buried it. They haven't brought it forward yet. You know, we still want to get to the bottom of all the stuff that's going wrong in the district. Whether you want to say that, oh, we have recordings and the Castellanos did this and that. No, we're still going to focus on what we were there for, because all this stuff is just noise and distraction from the truth and what we're trying to accomplish. And that's probably the most important thing that needs to be out there. The public can still talk noise about me and say bad things or whatever, but my wife has nothing to do with it. It's the actions that I'm taking to move forward and get this district back on its feet. We're going to go through some bad times because there's a lot of people that have to answer for what has happened. Now it's time to just start identifying them. You know, we have to get rid of the problems and then move forward, start rebuilding, mm-hmm. you know, and that's where we're at. Too many people are allowed to get away with their personal agendas and their personal little attacks on us, and we're still standing, mm-hmm. and we're going to still fight for what's right.
That's they thought we were going to run and get scared by the Rangers. They thought we were going to run and get scared by TEA. No, we want the truth. We're here. We're not afraid. We're not afraid of doing something wrong. We're not afraid. We want the truth out. If we did something wrong, it should be out. But as you saw, there's nothing out there against us other than stupid little comments that, you know, oh yeah, Castellano filed a complaint. And then that supersedes all the rest of the criminal activity in the district? Does that protect Gabriela Elliott from what she has done? What about that?
That's what we're getting to. We want to get to the base of everything, and we're still going to fight. You know, it's not allowing the district to issue another $800 million bond when they couldn't manage the initial $400 million bond. You know, you got to read the bond report. That's why we had it. This is public. This is the information that the public deserves to know. Read what Iyington and how these contracts were manipulated. And when Monday comes and we have our special board meeting and the external auditor presents the rest, you'll see the whole picture and you'll say, this is what we were standing up for, to do what's right. And that's really all we have to say.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you both for taking time to talk to me about this. I will, go ahead and have a conversation with my editor, and then I might shoot you a text to let you know, to kind of update you if we're going to put anything out there over the weekend. But if not, then what I'll do is just update you if we're going to, go forward with any other articles or investigations.
Okay,
sounds great. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you listening to us, Ms. Silva.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. And thank you, too.
All right. Have a good evening.
Okay.